Good evening. Welcome to approximately 15 minutes of technical difficulties, followed by an hour and 45 minutes of an amazing, mind-blowing show with Jick and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead.
And I'm under a bunch of pressure now that you've talked us up.
Maybe I should have made it 10 dozen minutes of lowered expectations.
Maybe you should have. How have your expectations been lately?
Great, actually. Fantastic.
Mrs. Havisham.
If I remembered anything about Great Expectations, I would be making jokes galore.
Great Expectations was the one with Mrs. Havisham, right?
Yeah, and the big...
The old spinster who is consumed in the flames of her own sublimated passion.
And she had the wedding cake that was all covered in dust and cobwebs and whatnot.
And wearing a big frilly dress that was on fire.
The entire novel. All of her dialogue was just...
Ah! Yeah. It took like four pages to describe the fire on the dress. And it was so boring that it didn't occur to you, wait, this girl's dress is on fire. That rules. And there's a girl. The old girl.
The old girl.
This old girl's dress is on fire.
It's weird to me that you had a decent time with Herman Melville, but you don't like Dickens.
Melville goes on and on, but it's not like five pages about, you know, a particular hue of gray in the London sky. It's like five pages about weird whaling minutiae.
Five pages about a particular hue of whiteness on a whale, right?
No. I never got to that. I did not actually continue in my Read Moby Dick project. That got shelved. Literally shelved. It's on a shelf. Yeah, I haven't been reading anything except that book that tells me that all of my failures with technology are technology's fault, and I like it. I also, I've been reading this other book about how all of my problems with women have been because they bitches.
Oh, I see. Is that Kanye West's new book?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
All your problems with women is because they bitches. So yeah, what have you been up to?
We got back from Cannes and it was raining and gloomy. We landed on Tuesday late evening, and so Wednesday through Friday just kind of vanished in a just monotonous, indistinguishable haze of gloom and chill.
Because you can't paint your house when it's gloomy.
That's true.
Did you finish painting your house?
Why does everybody keep asking me that?
Is it comically half finished? Is it a house that's sloppily half green and half pink?
Sadly, no. I wish
it were. Is it a house that looks like a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper from the 1980s?
That's what it will look like when it's finished. After we put all the unicorns and then the monkeys on there. But no, at the moment, the entire front of the house is done. The back of the house, I just spent all day sanding. So tomorrow can start painting it. And the two sides of the house we're going to do in the spring. Just like, we're going to run into winter before we finish this. So it'll look a little strange all winter long.
But no, it only will look strange from certain places, right?
Right, we'll just say, just come stand in front. Yeah. Or in back.
Oh, cool, I'll see it mid-paint job. And mid-hand job.
Yeah, hopefully.
But everything I see the entire time I'm visiting you, I'm going to see mid-hand job.
Yeah, I wish that you wouldn't have made that stipulation to you coming to visit. You know, it would have been nice to not have any strings attached, especially if they're ropey strings of semen.
Mm-hmm. They won't be attached for very long.
That's true. The viscosity of semen does tend to...
It goes through that weird phase change.
Yeah.
So that it will, you know... I don't know why that is. It's got to be something about impregnating a lady. But I don't know anything about impregnating a lady that I know of. Speaking of which, how's your lady who you impregnated and the result of that impregnation?
He got an inch taller during KOL Con.
He grew an inch in a weekend?
Yep.
Maybe you got him some different shoes.
He grew enough that pants that fit him, like, lengthwise when we started the trip, didn't fit him at the end of the trip.
This is why I feel like when I have a kid, it's going to be, like, gunny sacks until high school. Because, A, you know, they're cheap. B, they're sort of one size fits all because, you know, one size fits all equally well, which is to say not at all, or like a gunny sack.
Right.
And C, it provides a more convenient way to carry the kit around.
So you just, like, lift it over their head?
Yeah, and you occasionally, like, dip it in soup so they have something to eat.
Oh, I see. So it's almost like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy towel, but with more child cruelty.
Yeah, with a baby inside it.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't remember last week either. I know there was some recovery. There was some rest and relaxation. There was a dentist appointment that I was supposed to go to and forgot about. Made up for that today, and did not exactly inspire confidence. He kept having the hygienist guy. It was a hygienist guy, which a dental hygienist is supposed to be a hot girl. Am I right? I mean, I don't think it's sexist.
Sorry, everybody, but yeah, I'm sorry, every guy who's a dental hygienist, but needs to be. But, you know,
yeah, I wish hotness that you were a hot
optional,
girl.
But a girl, surely. Yeah.
Yeah. So he kept repeating operations. You know, the thing where they shine the weird little UV light on your filling to get it to set?
Right.
That was done a number of times, and then it was done again because the dentist had, like, a worried look on his face and suggested to the hygienist that he do it again. Also, when he was using the secondary drill to, like, polish the filling down to smooth with the rest of the tooth, the drill sort of came apart inside my mouth.
Ooh.
Yeah, and some bits of it fell into various points and were recovered with various other instruments.
Excellent.
And then the last thing he said was, it's probably not going to pop out. Sometimes they do. If it does, just come back and I'll fix it.
Was this a discount dentist by any chance?
No, it's, you know, I've been to some discount dentists. I'll tell you that for sure. But no, this is a dentist that I've otherwise been totally pleased with. And you know what? He's never performed badly. It's just that today he seemed to be concerned about the quality of his work, and his concern led me to be concerned.
Yeah, geez.
It's a different kind of filling than I ever got before because it's kind of in the front of my mouth, and so he was like, you know, because of the stresses placed on these teeth when you bite, it's more likely that a filling will come out. I don't know, man. I'm hoping that I don't suddenly take a bite of something and then the nerve of my tooth is exposed to the agonizingly painful air.
Because then you'd say, the nerve of that tooth is exposed to the air. Actually, you'd probably say, ah!
I don't know, but then yelling would cause more air to get into my mouth and make it hurt even worse and start a vicious cycle of yelling and yelling. Does that count as a cycle? If you just keep alternating between yelling and yelling indefinitely.
So you're like circular breathing?
Oh man, I could play the screamery do. Or I could eat a piece of toast topped with rich screamery do.
Screamery do was my least favorite of the Scooby-Doo, Scrappy-Doo family.
Yeah. You know, the fans said, Scrappy-Doo is too annoying, and so they said, we'll show you too annoying. And replaced him with Screamery Doo, the tiny dog that never stopped screaming.
It's a great idea. Do you suppose Cold Stone Creamery ever becomes Cold Stone Screamery for the Halloween?
Oh man, yeah, if they did that for Halloween, that would be great. That's what I'd do if I owned it. You know, like Knott's Screamy Farm.
And just make all of the flavors like, you know, it's just cherry, but we'll call it Dead Man's Blood. Because it's a Stone Cold Screamery.
Yeah. Cold Stone Screamery. Stone Cold. You suppose that Stone Cold Steve Austin ever dresses like a zombie? The Stone Cold corpse of Steve Austin. We can make him better. We can improve. I don't know.
He would have to be the Stone Cold Steamery, I think. If it's Cold Stone Creamery.
Do you suppose that people who perform Cleveland Steamers on Halloween sometimes refer to them as Cleveland Screamers?
I hope so.
What would, blood red lobster?
Dead lobster.
Dead lobster, there you go. Yeah, that's much better. You're much better at this. You should clearly be in charge of the Halloween promotions for these corporations.
I'm not sure I would go to dead lobster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better if they serve them to you dead, right?
Right.
Joe's Crab Shriek.
Oh, good, good.
What would the Olive Garden be? The good. Man, my favorite thing when I was a kid was when the school cafeteria menu was printed all Halloweened up. And so we would have, like, skeleton bone. I think I've talked about this on the radio before, how there were skeleton bones, which were French fries, and then witch's fingers, which were French fries. So and the only other things that I can think of were also French fries.
So you went to the school where the lunch every day was just French fries?
Yeah, well, it was in Idaho, and they had a deal with the Idaho Farm Council.
Hmm.
After the incredible edible egg, those became witches' eggs.
That's kind of weird.
I don't know that they ever had eggs at that cafeteria. It wasn't really a breakfast kind of place.
Witches' teeth.
Did they ever have? Is there ever school breakfast? Maybe at fancy private schools.
Well, these days there's also like a breakfast for kids whose parents can't afford to feed them at home.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah. Is there a dinner for kids whose parents can't afford to feed them a dinner?
I don't think so. I think they figure you gotta at least, if you're gonna have a kid, you gotta at least feed them once a day.
Hmm. Although 2 meals a day is enough to keep a kid alive. Really, probably 1 meal. Probably a kid would not die if all he ever got was the public school lunch.
Yeah,
one meal, 5 days a week.
They think
would probably
better.
Be fine.
Yeah. They think better if they have breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day, is what I'm saying.
That's what everybody says, and that whole bullshit about how you need eight ounce glasses of water every day. See, because they lied to me about that, I don't believe what they say about breakfast being the most important meal of the day. I did read something that said that you can't think properly unless you eat some carbohydrates, like confirming my suspicions that proponents of the Atkins diet are dumb.
Right.
And if you just ate a cracker, you'd be so much smarter. Look at parrots. Parrots are the smartest of birds, and they eat a lot of crackers. Or at least they want a lot of crackers, at least according to them. They might be lying. So that was last week.
We went to the Renaissance Festival.
Oh.
On Sunday, and that was pretty special.
And do you still have a lot of buddies that are working there doing tricks?
Yep. Playing with fire.
And barely being paid for doing those tricks.
Not getting burned. We saw Vaginal Bloodfart do his vilification tennis. That was excellent. We saw
tennis hadn't been invented in the medieval era, Mr. Skullhead.
Neither had vilification.
Oh, certainly vilification had. Maybe somebody could play the vilification sack butt.
Hmm. I gotta say that as a gift to middle schoolers, the sack butt is right up there with, you know, Homo erectus.
Homo erectus is pretty funny because it makes you think about gay boners.
You know, everything makes you think about gay boners. You're like a Rorschach.
Especially when I was in middle school.
Yep.
Because they were so new, you know?
Yeah.
I think about it now. If I think about a gay boner now, I'm like, there's another gay boner. I guess that's great. But when I was a kid, it was like, holy crap, there's a third gay boner? Because it was like the third gay boner I'd ever seen.
And you just kept a count?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Eventually I lost count of all the gay boners.
You know what I think instead of taint, I would like people to now say the sack butt area?
Right, because it is not the sack. No, wait, it is exactly between your butt. I don't get it. It needs to have a goofy etymological provenance,
or I don't like it as
a word for that. Although I think grundle was just a made up word.
Right.
Well, you know, I differentiate between, you know, every word which is a made up word and words that are just sort of random collections of letters.
Hmm.
I guess it sounds funny. Grundle. Grundle is a funny word, I guess. Just in and of itself.
What is grundle supposed to mean?
Grundle is what certain people call the taint.
I see. I'm going to go with sack butt area. You know, kind of like the Twin Cities region refers to the things that are, you know, in between Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's the sack butt region.
I see.
Everything between your sack
but
and
so
your
So women
butt.
Don't have them?
Exactly.
Or are you just describing a vagina as a sack? a sack of a different color.
Well, it's a sack. It's just upside down and inside.
Could you say the same thing about any orifice, then?
Sure.
So you have your sack, and then you have your other sack, which is upside down and inside, which is your urethra.
Hmm. This is complicated. I can see why they landed on taint.
Yeah, it's so straightforward, you know? Man, you know what always bugged me is when people tried to come up with etymologies for swear words that involved really dubious acronyms, and then insisted that they were correct.
Dude, it's totally for unlawful carnal knowledge.
Yeah, fornication under consent of the king. My favorite was ship high in transit.
Right.
Which was apparently, you know, I guess the rationalization there was like, oh, well, of course, if you had a box full of poop on your boat, you would want to put it up really high relative to the boxes of other stuff.
See, I had read that it was when your cargo hold is full of poop, the gas that rises off the poop will actually be enough lift to raise the ship a little bit above the water. Not above the water, but, you know, a little higher in the water than it would normally
be. Wow, that would be great. I would actually start riding shit boats if that's how they worked.
If they just hovered. They were like Zeppelins, only poop power.
And then it starts to go down towards the water, and they say, everybody poop as much as you can.
I was like, God, I've never pooped as much as I can.
This ship is not going to heighten itself in transit on its own.
Ship high in transit. That was the best we could do.
I was a grown-ass man when I heard that. A grown-ass man capable of immediately determining that that story was complete nonsense.
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody about... There was a email going around for a while that was a whole bunch of those, and including, like, when back in the old days, people only bathed once a week, and you would start with, you know, dad would take the bathwater, then mom, and then the kids, and all the way down to the baby, and by the time the baby was in it, you could barely see to the bottom, so you could throw the baby out with the bathwater. And they used to have straw that they put on their floors, and they called it thresh, but the thresh kept coming out through the bottom of the door, so they put a thing up around their door to hold the thresh in, and they called it the threshold.
Huh.
And I kept telling them, none of this makes any sense at all. And they're like, okay, well, what does fuck mean? Like, well, you know, it's people aren't sure, but it seems to be this, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, where'd you read that? And I said, well, there's a site, Snopes, that you should really read. And they're like, oh, you read it on the internet?
Yeah, I remember having a lot of arguments with people about whether or not, like, why do you trust Snopes when all they say is don't trust all of this other stuff? Like, what makes them so special? And, you know, really, that's kind of a good question. You know, it's peer-reviewed by, you know, a lot of scientists, right? I feel like it came out of the old school internet where most of the people on it were experts in one thing or another, and most of the people on it had, you know, cared enough about a college education that they had developed an ability to think critically, and that a site like that wouldn't be able to get away with just being wrong about a lot of stuff.
The other thing is that they show their work. They'll reference the articles that they're talking about. They'll talk about how they arrived at the conclusions, and
it is hard to prove a negative.
Footnotes,
right? I mean, it's hard. So it's hard to, you know, when you look up, like, oh, right, it turns out no kids have ever gotten poison Halloween candy ever. It's hard to prove that.
Right, but they can say, like, we talked to every sheriff's office in every major city, and we didn't find anything. You know,
right.
It's weird to me that, like, well, you can't trust those guys, but I can totally trust this completely unattributed and vague thing that I got in my email.
Yeah. Well, because it came from somebody that they trust.
My dad does battle with that now that he's a gone kind of Democrat, Obama-supporting guy, but still getting emails from all his Republican friends. Who he sends them the Snopes links, and they'll go, well, Snopes is a biased source. You can't trust them. It's just this man and woman. They're probably in league with Obama to make you believe that he's an American citizen.
Like when he tries to convince his friends that Obama is not in fact a Muslim.
Right. And, you know, up to is not in fact the Antichrist.
Oh. Do people believe that? I feel like a lot of people have believed that about a lot of Democrats.
That's true.
Because Democrats always want to unite the world under a single government, which is how the seventh son of the seventh son manages to take over. And they always want to do the microchip implanted currency, which then becomes the mark of the beast.
Right, right.
I remember talking to this kid in seventh grade who was really excited about the Satan coming to take over the world.
Well, sure, because that means all the Christians get to fuck off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he was getting these ideas. Some of them probably from, say, Motley Crue t-shirts.
Right.
Yeah, it's, you know, my dad was a policeman, and he talked once about going to some training thing where they told you how you could tell if there were Satanists in your area. And the way that you could tell if there were Satanists in your area was that somebody would write "Jesus saves" on a highway overpass, and that meant that somewhere nearby was a satanic altar.
Wow.
Yeah, and like that was something that somebody paid for, right? Like, it's frustrating to me that like in what is meant to be, it kind of reminded me of like the scene in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas where he's, you know, sitting in on the, like, drug education thing for policemen that's just, you know, absurd. It's just basically a bunch of, like, moral panic nonsense being fed to the very people who should be the most responsible for understanding that it's bullshit.
Right.
And who have the actual street experience to kind of figure out on their own that it's nonsense.
You'd hope so.
That, you know, there was just never really a problem with Satanists anywhere. But, boy, do I remember my my aunts and uncles being scared of Satan worshippers. And, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going around in my circle. I don't think Dad ever really bought into that. They were kind of leery of Dungeons & Dragons. But I explained role-playing games to them, and they're like, oh, yeah. Like, he read, like, half of a Harry Potter book when everybody was saying that it was the spawn of the devil, and was like, no, this is, you know, it's not my thing, but it's clearly just a fantasy story for kids. I remember there was some place in Prescott that was supposed to be a satanic altar, and they had found pentagrams and candles and, you know.
Turned out to just be some heavy metal kids' houses.
And they sat down and listened to Hotel California, because, you know, it's about the Beast of Revelation.
Is it?
Some dude cornered my dad one night. We were hanging out at a, you know, some kind of Christian thing, and spent a good half hour explaining line by line how the lyrics to Hotel California meant that the Eagles were a satanic cult.
You know, it's cool. The same thing that allows people to be English majors allows people to do shit like that. Right? Like the ability to kind of, yeah, I don't know, listen to Dark Side of the Moon while you watch The Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
right.
Paradoilia? The name for it's para something or other. The name for seeing Jesus in a taco or like Satan's face in a picture of a fire, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Pareidolia.
Pareidolia.
Pronounced in ways that I can't. Oh, pareidolia. We're gonna say.
So right, we're good pattern matching engines, and it's pretty easy to come up with a compelling narrative for anything, right? Like, you know, you spend a lot of time every night with your brain coming up with compelling narratives for just random bullshit,
right?
And yeah. Well, yeah, then I played some video games, and I put together some Legos over the weekend.
What Legos?
I've been playing some Civilization V.
What Legos did you put together?
The Tantive IV Rebel Blockade Runner.
Ah.
I was thinking about how my approach to Legos has changed. I feel like some people are disdainful of my current approach, which is to just kind of collect the Star Wars Legos and put them together as though they're models. Uh-huh. You know, I just like following the instructions. And people are like, but the thing about Legos is that they let you be creative and follow your own rules instead of doing what the man tells you. But I don't buy it anymore. You know, I really enjoyed that as a kid. And I look on the internet at people who are building things out of Legos and thinking that I could never in a million years make anything as cool as, like, the least cool thing that, say, Riff makes with Legos.
Right.
And just like, yeah, you know what? That's okay. That's going to be somebody else's job from now on.
I think that is part of the the growing up process, to see somebody do something cool and go, not, oh, dude, I could do that only better, but go, wow, even if I started working on that now, I would never be as good at it as that guy.
Yep.
It's more like, you know, like sometimes I think I should really learn a programming language and I should start trying to program. I think that would be fun. And like, you know, we have people who do that.
I mean, I think every once in a while, somebody will pick something like that up and, you know, turn out to be a prodigy or at least, like, you know, do something. I mean, I felt that way about making video games for a long time, and arguably I'm, you know, I'm okay enough to make a living at designing video games, right? Yeah. I mean, I really did feel that way. I'm like, well, you know, those... I can read stories about people in the 70s and 80s who made a video game in their basement, but those days are over. That's not how it works anymore. But then, you know... Sometimes it comes back around. You know, and then there's things like, you're not going to stop playing the guitar because there are people who are better at playing the guitar than you, because playing the guitar is fun.
Yeah, but I do occasionally despair to see, like, my entire lifetime I've written maybe 10 songs that I would share with people, and some would argue that that's at least 9 too many. And then, like, Brandon Patton, how did that dude come up with, like, 20 songs that I enjoy listening to in the past 4 years. Yeah.
I mean, I think he has spent a lot more time on it than you have, right? Malcolm Gladwell will lead you to believe that you have to spend 10,000 hours doing something and then you're good at it.
That's true, but nothing's going to make me a more prolific writer or proficient songwriter, is the thing.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you committed to sitting down for 4 hours a day, every day, to write songs... that you would write a lot more songs, and they would probably be pretty good. Hmm. You know, I think there's a matter of, like, you have some fundamental level of talent that allows you to do stuff like that. In a lot of arguments that I had with people back when I was young, and it was fun to, like, argue with people about what is the meaning of intelligence, and, like, you know, I would use The Pretentious Artist as an example of this, like, the idea that people are just better at things than other people, you know, and how... I've seen some sculptures that The Pretentious Artist made when he was like 6 or 7 years old. And if I spent years trying to learn how to make little sculptures of monsters, I would not be as good as he was at it when he was as old as the number of years that I had spent practicing. And maybe that's not true, you know? I mean, because I guess I kind of learned how to draw, and it only took this many years. But, like, still... there are people that are just better at stuff than you. And I'm never going to make, you know, like, I enjoyed the idea of the Lego Mindstorms robotics kit. And I liked kind of having an excuse to get one, you know, because it's like, well, I'm going to make this thing for work, right? So I'll get these Mindstorms and, you know, get to play with them a little bit. And I see the stuff that other people do with it, and I think, yep, that's it for that, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I tend to...
like... Go ahead. I put together Legos, like, meditatively now. You know? It's like a thing that I do to kind of shut my brain off. And maybe I listen to a podcast while I do it.
Right.
And I just sit down, doing something with my hands, with my mind a little bit engaged, but not to the point where I really have to think about it, like I would if I was trying to build something novel.
Hmm.
And then I end up with a bunch of little Lego Star Wars toys. They're not really toys. They're like models. They're models. That's how I can justify it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Lots of men put models together. Lots of men are married to models.
Oh, lots of men are married to models that they have assembled themselves.
That's the truth. Oh man, did you hear that the guy that owned Segway died by riding a Segway off of a cliff?
Yeah, and I've already seen like the tongue-in-cheek news story and the chiding of the tongue-in-cheek news story, but come on.
Yeah, come on. I mean, I'm not going to post a comment on a website about how that's funny, but I'm also not going to be mad at somebody for posting a comment on a website about how that's kind of funny.
Right, like, I get that death is not necessarily a funny thing. The fact that the guy died is not funny. The fact that he died on it, like, given that a Segway has this reputation of being almost comically kind of square and safe, you know?
Right. I mean, do you think, had anyone else ever died on a Segway?
I don't know.
Because that's weird. Yeah. I mean, and that guy probably rode a Segway everywhere that he went, right? Because if you're the guy that owns the company, I mean, it's like the guy that became the president of the Hair Club for Men had hair everywhere that he went.
It would be weird if he actually had a full head of hair, but had to kind of thin it out, you know, like maybe have some chemotherapy or something so that he would be justified in being a client.
It's not funny to joke about chemotherapy.
It is hilarious to talk about chemotherapy.
I've been getting a bunch of choice quotes from our newbie chat channel today.
Oh, yes, I've seen some of those. Touché.
Yeah. Like some rape jokes, and that's what people see when they start playing our video game and go into the place where we dump them in chat. There's been a lot of discussion about the whole new player experience of Kingdom of Loathing, and I think you know, I've been thinking a lot about the new player experiences of a lot of things. Civilization V's tutorial, not so much a tutorial. I started it up and I was like, you know what? I've heard that this is really different than previous Civilization games. I'm going to play the tutorial. And then the tutorial was just a game of it. I guess there are some different tutorials. Maybe me clicking the tutorial, the giant button that said tutorial, learn by playing. I assumed that there would maybe, you know, you'd be playing, but there would be some guidance or some commentary. In Civilization IV, there was a little digital, sort of a horrific, uncanny valley version of Sid Meier.
Oh.
Who would talk to you.
That,
yeah, it was creepy. I mean, Sid Meier, you know, Sid Meier seems like a good dude, so it wasn't scary, but you kind of had to not look at him. Because it's like, oh, here's a good dude who has possessed some sort of Westworld robot who I hope won't go insane and kill me.
Right.
Because it's always the ones that are friendly. It's when you see a humanoid robot, it's always the ones that are especially friendly that you have to worry about. See, whereas, like, the Jude Law robot in AI, he's kind of a dick. So, you know, he's probably okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Plus, he's a fully functional sex bot, and what could go wrong with that?
Just like Data in Star Trek The Next Generation, for whatever fucking reason, they decided they had to go into that.
It was amazing how people just kept asking, so are you fully functional? Hey, Data, are you fully functional for everything? And he'd go, I am fully functional. I just wish that they would have said, Data, can you put it in her butt? And have Data say, I would be able to put it in her butt, sir.
In fact, I would be glad to.
Data, that was not a command.
So I've been thinking about, like, have you ever played a game or used a product, say, where you tried to get an introduction to and then join a community surrounding that product or game on the internet?
Huh. So the product, like, itself is not a community on the internet.
Well, yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying. So something like Facebook, where there is nothing but the community, and it starts out by being made of people that you already know. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel that you belong to any online communities?
Just this one.
Yeah, which is, we're not in a position to really evaluate that. So first you create the community, and then you wait for some people to show up and be in it.
Right.
And then you have sex with a bunch of them. Or in your case, zero of them.
Uh-huh.
Well, of the girls at least.
Oh!
Yeah. I haven't spent as much time around Nightmare in the last couple days as I would have liked to. I'm going back over there after the show, though, and we're going to go to dinner, and I'm probably going to make fun of him for being a gay.
Being the gay.
Yeah. He's got a bad case. Houston, I've got a bad case of the gay. That would suck to come down with a case of gay on a spaceship.
Hmm. Was Gay on a Spaceship going to be the sequel to Snakes on a Plane?
Yes. There's just one gay guy. It turns out that NASA cancels the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy mid-mission.
It's like, surprise! I am the gay.
Suddenly he opens the secret compartment in his space bunk and pulls out, like, a sequined jacket.
And Samuel L. Jackson goes, I'm sick of this motherfucking butt sex on my motherfucking spaceship. It would have been perfect.
Really, father fucking. I'm sick of this father fucking gay on this motherfucking spaceship.
So you wouldn't say, like, guy, you are one gay motherfucker.
No, you couldn't. That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know.
Well, unless it was a lady.
Motherfucker.
Somebody whose mother was a guy.
Motherfucker very rarely is intended in its literal meaning.
Really? I almost always interpret it like that.
Huh. So if I was to say, like, that is one tasty motherfucking beer, you would assume that my mother had used the beer as a dildo.
I mean, I assume that about basically every object that I am aware of your mother to have... that I know your mother to have come into contact with.
I thought you were going to say that exists in the physical world, and I was going to have
to... Well, no, only the things... Not everything, only the things that she has seen or touched.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's not always... It's not 100% reliable, but it usually is. So there's been a lot of talk lately about, well, you know, we need to give the new players of this game a place to ask for help. And, a place that is not what the newbie channel, which is a place for new players to ask for help, has turned into over time, which is, depending on who you ask, either not so bad, really, or a horrible cesspool of nothing but rape jokes.
The fact that it is described by its defenders as not as bad as you think?
No, it's not as bad as you think. It's just that, say I've gotten two different reports from two different people on staff, one of whom spends a lot of time, you know, talking to the chat moderators, one of whom created an account and lurked for a couple of days in newbie as though he was a new player, and the lurker says it's not as bad as the mod interactor would have you believe. The mod interactor really sort of flipped out and basically said that, in his opinion, it just needs to be set on fire.
Uh-huh.
Because it is the worst possible thing ever. So, I mean, it's not... I don't know that I have a general impression of that channel as being a bad place.
Hmm.
My concern, I guess, with the idea of creating another place to drop new people into when they first decide that they want to go into... I don't know what people expect when they first go into a chat room on the internet. I expect it to be fucking terrible, personally. But I never would go into a chat room on the internet, I don't think. I mean, if I go to, say, play a game like Twilight Heroes, which I've been playing Twilight Heroes because a couple days ago, Twilight Heroes introduced their retcon mechanic, which lets you play through the game and compete for speed leaderboards, just like you can in our fine Kingdom of Loathing. It's kind of neat. I'm having fun with it. It's going back in and suddenly not being confronted with an inventory of hundreds and hundreds of items that I don't know what they do, you know? Just having that all go away. Just let me play a game the way it was designed. It's kind of cool. That chat, I basically know what to expect out of, right? Because it's largely a subset of our own community that started it, at least. But it's hard for me to imagine. Like, I guess I just assume that if you go into any chat room on the internet, that it's just going to be like chat roulette, only, you know, with the dicks coming out of people's mouths rather than out of cameras.
Huh.
Like, verbal dicks is what I'm saying. Like, verbal everything dicks that everybody says is going to be the verbal equivalent of somebody just stroking their erect penis in your face.
Sure. But given that's...
Under the assumption that that's not something that you want. I know that there are people who like that.
Now, yeah. But if we have an opportunity to make something in our game that people see when they first log in that isn't that...
Right, but what I'm saying is we did have an opportunity to make something that isn't that. We did, and then this is what it turned into. Whatever it is now is what it turned into. I feel like what a lot of people want is a help channel that you can go into and ask questions, and that the mods would forbid chatter. And I think that that is a terrible idea. I think that introducing people to chat by saying, all right, well, here's a channel where you can't actually make friends without getting yelled at, that's no good, right? And I don't know, you know, if we don't forbid chatter, there is nothing that is going to stop whatever new newbie channel we create from just having the same thing happen to it, which is just that it turns into something that is no longer focused on helping new players.
Right.
I'm told that maybe newbie was never focused on helping new players.
Like, but newbie developed its own community, like every channel has, I guess. I don't know. I spent some time in there with my multi, and it was, most of the conversation was pretty tame and what you would expect to find, but I understand that there are a couple of groups of people who that's the channel they hang out in, and they tend to antagonize the shit out of the mods for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that is something that I think the kibosh could be put on pretty significantly, and, you know, I could see giving those people a new place to hang out, though that never works. Trying to do something like that never, ever works.
Doing it like, right? Take it to slash troll, guys.
Deciding that the trade channel was... realizing that the trade channel was so chattery that it was impossible to get any actual... any trading done led to the decision that the mods would say, all right, no chatter here, and creating a new place for the people who hung out socially in trade to hang out if they just wanted to shoot the shit. And I don't think that it really worked. I think that what it basically did was destroy an active community, an active sub-community, rather than, you know, moving that active sub-community. I might, again, be wrong about that, but that is my impression, at least from the complaining that came out as a result of it. You know, the Multistar has suggested a channel that you can only talk in for the first, like, X days that your account exists, which I feel like that is just a recipe for trolling multis. And also, it seems like a sort of a shitty way to try and foster a community by creating, a pool that you get kicked out of at a certain time, and then where are all your friends that you made in those 2 weeks? You know, I don't know what the answer is. I'm curious as to your take on it. Like, what do you feel should be the, like, first the foot that we put forward in terms of what the chat is?
Well, I think that the newbie channel is okay for that. I would like to see the ability for a moderator, or, you know, even for somebody on, say, Multizar's level, to be able to kick somebody permanently from a single channel. To just say, like, you know, we're not going to disable your account and ban you, because then you'll just come back and be a pain in the ass, but, you know, just boot you from newbie, and you can't talk in there anymore. And then, you know, they will go somewhere else and make trouble.
Do you think not talking there... I mean, so I could see doing that just for newbie, and I don't think that would be a big deal.
Do you think it should be
a permanent thing, or do you think that it should be, like, a week at a time or a day at a time?
I'm inclined to say that... So, say we put this mechanism in place, and we let people know, like, if you're going to be a newbie just to grief the mods, you're going to get a warning, and then you're going to get kicked from that channel permanently. And to me, that would be fine. The stuff that I'm seeing is the stuff that... I don't know, that really raises my hackles. With, like... Well, this moderator is clearly perpetuating injustice, so for the sake of all the downtrodden and oppressed masses, I'm going to stand up and talk about dicks, because nowhere does it say that you can't talk about dicks, and this moderator keeps telling me not to talk about dicks, so this moderator is a fascist, and I have to, you know, make the world safe for democracy by all me and my buddies being total jackholes in that channel. And in the meantime, we're also going to complain to Werebear that the mod is not being fair. So, like, that kind of shit I have zero tolerance for.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see.
I mean,
that.
And that kind of, you know, the thing is, my sort of like libertarian sensibilities about that kind of thing are a little bit at odds with what I know is the right thing for a community, right?
Well, not only a community,
which is why I decided to write the rules very loosely enforceable, and you know, we can basically, you know, like, you know, secret newsflash, if it says don't be a jackass, we can say that anything is being a jackass that we don't like.
Right.
You know.
Did we add the line?
I have a little bit
there?
Of trouble giving other people that authority, because I don't know that they wield it in the same way that I would. But you know, I step back from a lot of that stuff, as I should, because I'm not the right guy to be in charge of that kind of stuff.
I have seen like a mod getting trolled into banning for something that maybe they wouldn't have banned somebody else for. But to me, trolling the mod so they're in such a frenzy that they ban you for no reason for this time.
Yeah, that itself is a reason.
Is a reason. And, yeah.
I mean, perhaps it's not a Hoobastank level reason.
Right. I just feel like, I feel kind of protective of the moderators because they do a whole lot of work for us for free. And I think as a whole, they do a really damn good job. They're not perfect, but to hear the, like, there is just a systematic problem with these mods because I keep getting banned even though I'm not even saying things half as bad as somebody else. Like, man, shut up.
And yeah, I mean, it's like the kind of shit that you would never do to, like, the cops, right? Like, you would never just fuck with a cop by doing things that weren't technically against the law.
Have you read those threads on Boing Boing? Where occasionally somebody will just... Yeah, well, the law is that you don't have to have a picture ID to get on an airplane. And so, can you believe this dumbass?
No, the law is you don't have to answer questions of U.S. Customs. And so, yeah, and then people get all outraged, but like, no, dude, you're an asshole.
So when they asked me a question, I said, none of your business. And oddly enough, they didn't take kindly to that.
I mean, I get the point that the guy is trying to make, sure. You know, but the people who are saying, like, you know what? If they ask you why you were in China and you tell them you're just fucking laying down and letting them steamroll you and all of your rights, and someday they're going to take your house and it'll be your own fault for, and you know, no, it's not. It's, you know, I don't have anything to hide. And, you know, that said, I'm not going to let a cop search my car.
Right.
Which is kind of the same move, right? Because you don't have to let them search your car. And I feel kind of strongly about that, and so I would not let them search my car if they didn't have a real reason to do so.
Back in the day, I let them.
Yeah, me too, before I really understood.
Well, for me, it was the couple of times that somebody had pulled me over for no reason and asked to search the car. It was when I was single, and my car was always just a cesspool. So, I was like, sure, dig through all of the shit that's in my car. It'll be fun for me and fun for you. It'll be great. But that was more like kind of griefing the cop. You know, you're not going to find anything, but if you really want to go waist deep in all the shit that's in my car, go for it. Now, I think if it's not already in the policies, we should add the line, the most important thing is, if a mod asks you to stop doing something, you stop doing it. Then you can go tell Werebear, this mod asked me to stop doing that, and I don't think they should have. But if the mod asks you to stop doing something, no matter what it is, and you don't stop doing it, fuck you. Like, you come to me and tell me that mod banned you because you were talking about cake when they had asked you to stop talking about cake, fuck you. So we add that line in.
I mean, do you think it is reasonable for a mod to ask somebody to stop talking about cake? I mean, I guess that's the thing. If it turns out to be unreasonable and we evaluate it later, the problem with people claiming that the mods do things that are unreasonable is that the people complaining are almost always douches.
I've never had somebody talk about the like tyranny of moderators that are inconsistently doing blah blah blah, and had them be somebody who was just like a nice person who got caught up in circumstance.
Yeah. I feel like the number of, like, completely unjustifiable bans in the history of the community is probably a number that you could pretty easily count on your fingers.
Well, like, with the cake discussion, since I seem to have pulled cake just out of the air. So, say, in the newbie channel,
Are you Jesus?
Yeah, I did. So, like, say a newbie, somebody's talking about jizzing on a cake. And they're talking about frosting the cake with their semen. And a mod finally says, cut that shit out. And spends a good 5 minutes trying to get everybody to stop talking about jizzing on a cake. So then 5 minutes later, multi of griefer guy comes back in and says, you know, I could really go for some nice frosted cake right now. And then they come to me and say, what the fuck, I got banned for talking about cake.
Yeah.
And I say, fuck you.
Did I lose you?
God, I hope not. Yeah, the streams are still up. We lost Skype. We didn't lose the streams. We lost Jake. Let's call him back. Okay, so that was exciting. Let's try this again.
Hey.
Hey, so Skype crashed, or I lost you on Skype. And I was like, well, that's weird. I lost the 24K server. Well, that's weird. Well, you know, at least the 64 is still going. And then the 64 shot craps, too. But
I think I'm reconsidering my plan to come to your house.
You know...
Because everything breaks. Internets always break when I'm around them.
We might not be able to do a show. We might just have to pre-record it and upload it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like... I can sit and stream an entire, you know, 2.5 hour movie in high def on Netflix with nary a hiccup. Yeah. Anyway, you want to take our musical break then?
Oh, we can, yeah.
And we're back.
Hey, cool.
I should probably mention that today is the 35th anniversary of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So to celebrate, I'm playing nothing but Rocky Horror Picture Show music.
Wow, so that came out like right before we were born?
Yep, 75.
Huh. Well, I was thinking, I've been thinking about embarking on this project of getting rid of stuff, like just like crap that I've been carrying around and not doing anything with for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You know, just the like shit every time you move, you're like, why the fuck am I carrying this to another house?
Right.
And there's broken electronics and stuff. And I was just thinking about my tendency to, I very readily will attach sentimental value to things. I'm not, you know, you don't think of me as like a sentimental guy, really. But I think I'm just sort of OCD and pack ratty. But I was thinking about like, you know, there's some shit that I'm keeping just because I think of it as being, you know, this is old. This is from the 70s. And being from the 70s does not give something an intrinsic value. And I think that I can look at the Rocky Horror Picture Show as a perfect example of that.
Hmm.
I can think of you and me as notable counterexamples. We have value because we are from the 70s.
Yeah, there's the original Star Wars.
We age like fine wine. No, there are a lot of things from the 70s that have a lot of value, but I'm saying that not everything from the 70s has a lot of value. Nah, like girls that were born in the 70s, way too old for me now.
True. See, I made a solemn vow to myself that I wasn't going to bag on you for dating younger girls anymore.
And I started doing it myself.
I know, you're making it hard for me.
Yeah.
And difficult.
What, did you decide that you were okay with it, or had you just decided that it wasn't worth making fun of me about when there's such a rich tapestry of other things?
I'd always been okay with it. The young lady that we were hanging out with in Phoenix and in Orlando. She's totally awesome. My end in Orlando. It's a place in the South Pacific. We were hanging out with it. And, she's totally awesome. Doesn't matter how old she is or isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, unless she's under 18.
Yeah.
That I know of.
But that particular example, you know, I don't want to make fun of you for dating somebody young and when it's somebody that's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. You know, I submitted a request for questions in the forums and on Twitter, and we should probably read some of those. Otherwise, people are going to stop actually responding to them when we ask for them. Not much on Twitter. Alligator for you. No, it's Alligator 8 you. All number jokes are the same. Why do you hate the new Twitter?
I don't hate it. I was just...
It's confusing.
It's got, instead of clicking a link and having something open in a new tab, I click an arrow and have something open on the other half of the page.
Yeah, when I click that arrow, it seems like something opens on the other half of the page, a lot of which is the same stuff that's on the left half.
Right. I mean, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of cool if it's a picture, it just shows you what the picture is.
I don't see
the point in it.
Alligator ate you complains that our game is too addictive, and when she's trying to do homework, it sucks her back in. That's that is a problem that we have. So by please send questions, what we meant was tell us how awesome we are.
Yep, yep.
Do you think anybody got my cheers and jeers joke? Do you remember TV Guide in the 80s and how they had cheers and jeers?
Yeah. I remember it well, because I was born in
there was something 70s. I think that might have been more local to where I was that had hisses and kisses.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Heckles and shekels was another one. Like, do I like this enough to give it a few shekels, or do I like it so little that I will say unpleasant things to it while it is performing stand-up comedy? Hmm. Speaking of which, I saw Kevin Nealon do stand-up comedy this weekend. I forgot about that. That guy's pretty funny when he does stand-ups.
Hmm. You know, the stand-up I saw of him was pretty funny.
Every time I leave that comedy club, which I go to like once every 4 or 5 months, I would say, I think, you know, that is so much fun every time I go there. Why don't I do that all the time? And then I think, well, maybe the reason that it's good every time I go is because I'm really selective about who I'll actually go see there.
Right.
Like, it has to be somebody that I know to be funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't just randomly go out to a comedy club to see somebody. Like, in the same way that I wouldn't just randomly go see a band in concert that I hadn't heard any of the music.
Right. I wonder, though, if I would enjoy a larger percentage of random stand-up comedians than I would enjoy a random selection of musicians.
I will say, on Netflix, there's a series that was on Showtime called Live Nude Comedy,
mm-hmm.
which we watched the first 3 episodes. It's like 2 comedians and 2 burlesque acts per episode, and all 6 comedians that we've seen so far have just been really, really funny.
Oh, yeah?
And all 6 girls have been really, really hot. I figure you could just, if you could figure out which button on your controller skips a little bit, you could skip past the women stripping.
You know, because I have expressed a disdain for the concept of burlesque, and it is because I think maybe burlesque has come to mean something different than it used to mean, but what it used to mean, when I sort of learned what it was all about, it's basically like slightly too fat to be a regular stripper.
Hmm.
And that's what I think of. When I think of a burlesque show, I think of girls taking their clothes off who are slightly too fat to be regular strippers.
Yeah,
maybe that's not what it's like anymore.
That's really far from the mission statement.
I mean, maybe that's never what it was like, you know?
Well, you know, like...
Maybe I had some bad exposure to begin with, or maybe I'm an asshole for not wanting to look at fat girls taking their clothes off, but, you know.
Well, most burlesque shows that I've seen live, the women are not built like strippers, no. But the point of burlesque is, you know, most of the time at a strip club, the, like, taking off of the clothes and the dancing around doesn't really happen in any kind of an artful or amusing fashion.
Yeah.
You know, and burlesque is what that's supposed to be. It's like the pulling off of a glove with a flourish is part of it, you know. It's not just, let me get naked as fast as I can and then kind of walk around on high heels.
I think I will say that what I would probably enjoy the most is something in between those two things, because I really don't, like, I cannot imagine a context in which I would enjoy watching someone slowly take off a glove.
If there was music playing, you're out with your friends, you know that she's going to keep taking off clothes until she's...
I mean, if I was already having fun doing something else, then I guess on a technicality, I would have been enjoying myself while watching someone slowly remove a glove. I get that some people like it. I'm just saying, not me. Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe you should take me to a burlesque show and maybe I would enjoy it. Maybe it would be like a fucking awakening for me. maybe I would think, why didn't somebody do this for me 20 years ago? I feel like I've wasted 34 years of my life. Hmm. Although probably pre-ability to have a boner, I wouldn't have appreciated it anyway.
You should probably just watch an episode of that show.
Or are you not supposed to get boners? Is it considered inappropriate to get a boner?
No, I think it's okay to get a boner.
But it's not okay to wave it around.
Right. And that's as a general rule, say. I think that the focus is supposed to be more on the, like, risque and body versus the check out those titties. And, you know, I enjoy both types of entertainment.
I mean, I'm not really a big fan of regular strippers either. But I feel like I could be if there were some slight, like, variations in the trend. Like, it's like, okay, it's another blonde girl with giant fake tits. Like, and that's, like, doesn't really do anything for me.
Well, and you can go down to the Mexican strip club and it's another 16-year-old with a cesarean section scar.
Yep. Ah, boy. Mexico. I wish that Mexico was safer so that we could go do that some more.
One of these days.
I mean, it'd probably be fine. We probably wouldn't end up with our faces stitched to a soccer ball.
Probably not. Because we're not drug dealers. You kind of look like one, but we're not.
I do sell a lot of cocaine that I've stolen from other Mexican drug dealers.
So we should definitely...
Do you think that would have any bearing on my safety?
No, those guys can take a joke. Okay, so the thread with the people.
Yeah, the forum thread. Betrayers talking about, seriously though, Nola's toolbox fix. Just saw another complaint about it in Newbie. I know you'll ignore this, but yeah. Haha, I didn't ignore it, Betrayer. Just like I wasn't ignoring you at Con, I just didn't recognize you because you cut your hair. Yeah, you know, I will agree that some shit needs to change about that whole car thing, and it's gonna. I've been working on a new tutorial, and it's about to the point where we're gonna start arguing in dev about it for 10 years, and no one will ever see it. Some kind of fundamental changes to the way the game flows in the beginning and looks for new people, I think, that I am pretty pleased with. So far, I've been really enthusiastic and getting a tremendous amount of work done during the times when I've actually been sitting at my desk at work. Like, 2 days where I got, like, my brain got tired from working, as opposed to my brain got tired from agonizing about why couldn't I motivate myself to work more.
Hmm.
So those are usually the good days. Yeah, I have a feeling that I'm going to want to go through a quest at a time and kind of simplify the first... you know, few days worth of experience that people have. And while that might end up having some rippling impacts out on the game at large, I think that they will, I think that I'm in a space, I'm in a headspace where I can do it in a way that doesn't piss anybody off. And, you know, I've learned that I can't make interface changes without making it so you fucking can undo them if you want, you jerks. So that'll be fine. Zarufan1 says, when is that spaghetti spear update going to roll? Same time the new tutorial rolls. That's what it was meant to be a part of, and we just didn't bother. No, I think I might have actually told CD Moyer to do it so that we could roll it earlier. It's not, like, encapsulated. Natnit writes, would you guys be willing to implement a native tab chat into the game? This is a question that we were thinking about today, actually. We were talking about it because people... He says, I can understand if you don't want to figure out what's functional, aesthetically pleasing, etc. From what I understand, there was something wrong with CD Moyer's tab chat, so you decided not to further absorb that into KOL. Could you reiterate what happened with that? It's mostly just we haven't gotten around to it. He is worried about, for as far as like porting his own into the game, he's worried about getting it to work in Internet Explorer, I think.
People still use that thing?
Do what?
People still use Internet Explorer?
I think a lot of people still use Internet Explorer.
Who are they?
I think even if you look at our stats, it's still a majority of people use Internet Explorer who play.
What's the deal with people using Internet Explorer?
I mean, it's the browser that's on their computer. You know, we tend to get people who aren't as savvy, maybe.
Yeah,
or just the population at large is not as savvy, and we get a population. Okay. There are a handful of things that there are a handful of things in the default behavior of C.D. Moyer's Snapchat that I don't like, but he doesn't like them either. Like, he basically uses it the exact same way that I do. So I don't really understand why it defaulted to the things that it defaulted to. It's just questions like when you get a notification of something from the game that is not a thing that exists in a channel, what tab should that notification pop into? And I always set it to pop, and it's just a question, right, that everybody can answer for themselves, and I guess we just need to make it configurable. But that was the thing that really, the thing that made me not want to use it to begin with was that, and then I learned that you could have it just always pop those messages into whatever tab you're looking at. And that became the way that I use it. I mean, I use it all the time, and it drives me nuts trying to use the native chat, and so that really ought to tell me something. Nat and it also wrote, at any rate, could you guys please take a few minutes to try out Chez's Active Chat, or Shay's Active Chat? I should. I should look at that, and I will look at that. Thanks again. Love the show. RPXX says, can we have user-generated Valentines? It'd be cool to be able to send them to people. Yeah, there's always plain K-mail, but hopefully you could attach a picture by number or something. I don't know.
I have to say that RPXX makes a solid case for putting those Valentines in. Like, the ones that he wrote are pretty funny. I don't know that we'd want to... I don't think we would want to have it so that people could just make Valentines and send them.
Because yeah, with people would think arbitrary. That... Yeah. I mean, when you get a K-mail with a picture in it, that's something special, right? And, like, those Valentines... I definitely need to change the way that Valentines work, because it is obnoxious now. Like, if we had made Valentines after we did the whole curse item thing, and boy, it's funny that they're called curse items when the one thing that we absolutely cannot do is have them do anything bad to anyone else. But just have that be a thing that you send to somebody else like that from your inventory instead of just this weird, like, random extra interface element thrown onto the message sending thing that makes it so the send message screen has to hit your inventory every time. It's not as big a deal anymore now that it's cached, but, like, every time I see that, I'm like, oh, fuck, and I get rid of the Valentines, because just forget how terrible that is. Yeah, but I don't know, probably not. Not user-generated in that sense, because anything that gets into, like, letting somebody pick an arbitrary picture gets a little weird. Although, we do that with the chat macros now, or the macros, which is weird. Gamelli says, one of my favorite things in the game is the procedural map generator in Medioid. Do you have any ideas percolating for new generated map areas in the core game? Also, my brain is now conditioned to make me hum this every time I start a new Medioid game, so thanks for that. When Medioid was in testing, I put a link to YouTube, which was just like the Brinstar music from Metroid, and that's what I listened to almost incessantly while I was writing Medioid. I really like it. I definitely want to do a Super Medioid. Probably as a standalone thing, not embedded in KOL. But I do want to do some stuff with that. I have a lot of ideas. I was kind of thinking about maybe turning the daily dungeon into a thing that's generated like that, because I think that might be cool. Although it gets harder to do it if it has to be balanced for turn count. Like, I don't want, if the daily dungeon, I mean, if it's not different for every person, then everybody has the same ability to get through it and the same speed, right? So it's not going to be like an ascension relevance thing. But, you know, I have spent a lot of time thinking about a lot of things that I would like to do in KOL with that kind of technology. I don't know how core it should be. I've also gotten into this kind of back to basics kick that's proven pretty popular so far. But yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely, like, proud of the Medioid stuff and pleased with it, and it's like, oh, cool, I guess I've, you know... This is the kind of thing I always used to think about and then just think, well, I'm not really, like, a good enough programmer to be able to pull something like that off. I would love to just write a level generator for a thing that somebody else wrote as a platformer. I should see if the guy doing the coding on the new game wants to make me a little platformer. Although he'd be so much better at writing the actual code for a level generator than I would, that
I'd just be like, hey, there we go. We're old.
Play Havoc says, could you list the questions you ignore so that we do not ask them? Number one, could you list the questions you ignore so that we do not ask them? Silver Thumb says, why didn't the Disco Bandit get a traveling trader skill? It just hasn't yet. There is one, it wasn't very good, and I want to redo it, and I had an idea for it, and I just haven't gotten around to coding it. Betrayer asks, are you still considering a chat part for the tutorial revamp, because you totally should include it. I am really torn on whether I want the game to give people a quest to go into chat. I really don't know. You know, I feel like if the game rewarded you somehow for going into chat, and like having the game tell you to do something and then give you a little like ding that says you've done it is a reward, right? Like having a to-do item and seeing that to-do item go away, even if it's not like, hey, I'll give you 50 meat for going into chat, like that's still a thing that triggers a reward structure if you've been doing that. So I think that if the game really dramatically encouraged people to go into chat in larger numbers, it would bring a lot of assholes into chat, and then it would bring a lot of people who were upset that there were so many assholes in chat into chat.
Let's go ahead and make that change to the the policies and the kicking out of newbie channel before we encourage a bunch of people to go into chat.
I don't know about changing the policies to say that, because I feel like a reasonable interpretation of the policies is compatible with that. You know, I'm reluctant to like explicitly give moderators power by writ.
I think that that's entirely what we do with the moderators.
I don't want to write a rule that says also you have to do everything the moderators say, which is basically what that rule amounts to. Like, I feel like if I saw that rule written somewhere, I would be like, okay, I get that that's how the community works, but I would be nervous if I read that.
But every single time somebody has a problem with a moderator, it comes from, the moderator told me to stop doing something and I didn't, and so I got banned.
Right, but that's not a problem, right? I feel like it's, and it is especially not a problem that we could solve by saying don't do that, because we already say don't do that, right?
Right, but what I'm saying is that, like, show me in the policies where it says that whatever the mod says goes. Like, okay, let's put it in the policies that whatever the mod says goes. And it, with the understanding that mod you can appeal something that a mod has done, but not right then. If you know, you can go to the mod superior and ask them. So the mods don't have this ultimate authority, but in the moment, yes, for the smooth operation of the chat and for the sanity of everybody who's trying to moderate it, absolutely. What the mod says.
I mean, I could see a sentence. I could see a sentence in there that's like, if a moderator asks you to stop doing something, stop doing it. You know, that would not be out of character.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No. Man, changing the policies.
Yeah, just adding a line. Like, the single most important rule is, if a mod asks you to do something, stop doing it.
That's not the single most important rule.
For the chat to function well and for the mods to do their job? Totally. Okay, so also, if the mods ask you to do something, stop doing it.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not important at all.
We ask, just, you know, if you want. We ask says, will the item of the month be super cool like usual? Boy, I hope so.
Oh, boy, are you in for a disappointment.
How many days is... Oh, fuck. All right, I'm gonna keep burning the daylight oil on this tutorial thing, and then we'll come up with a shitty item of the month at the last minute. How does that sound?
Sounds like the business plan that has gotten us to where we are now.
All right, so we'll think about it on Tuesday. We'll work on it on Wednesday. We'll test it on Thursday. We'll roll it out on Thursday night.
And we'll fix it on Friday morning.
I'm thinking about it now. Let's see. Lots of Phil says, do monster initiative and running away chance interact the way the wiki says? The percentage of running away is monster initiative plus player initiative modifiers. It seems counterintuitive that the monsters that are the toughest to get the jump on are easiest to run away from. The chance of running away, I don't know, actually. I think that plus initiative does not help you run away. I thought that it did, but then when I looked at it, it never had. It is entirely possible that the runaway chance is just backwards. But it's also weird that the wiki would think that the initiative modifier had something to do with it, because I don't think that it does. So it could be that there's something weird about their datas. Giarj says, now that the quality of consumables is visible, could we order them in our inventory by that variable? I don't recall if I've asked this before, if I just meant to ask it. No, that's okay. Just whilst I remember, I must commend you on your handling of the Flower Schnapps issue last show, or was it the one before? I don't remember which show it was or what I said, but cool.
Thanks.
The ordering consumables by quality, I'm having a hard time. Like, yes, that's clearly a thing you should be able to do, but I'm having a hard time imagining what it would look like if we don't, like, display them in color or something like that. Because it'll just seem like they're ordered randomly unless they are labeled somehow, and I don't know if I want, like, little subdivisions inside the food box, you know? Trying to figure out a non-messy way to do that is not trivial. F of X says, would it be possible to get clan forums and announcements as well as K-mail to support Unicode characters or at least extended ASCII? It can be a bit difficult to communicate in languages other than English in-game, and the restriction on clan communications makes it difficult to build language-based clans. I know I've played Sea 3 for a while, despite it being a terrible game, just because there was a great French language community there. Well, high ASCII causes problems when you can make it so it gets displayed on other people's screens. And so there are reasons that we've cut that out of everything. There might be a solution to that problem other than just stripping high ASCII, and it's certainly a thing to consider, but I don't know. I don't know enough about the web anymore. Numenor says, have you thought any more about the Batman path? Boy, have I. I don't know anything ever, though. Too many ideas. And dicks on the dance floor. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the new Twitter man. The new Twitter man.
The newt Witter man.
The new Wicker man.
I know how I feel about the new Wicker man.
Was there an old Wicker man?
Yeah, there was. It was a remake of a thing from the 70s.
You know, just because it's from the 70s doesn't mean that it has intrinsic value.
I know, but it turned out to be pretty good. It was all about pagans and Christians, and the new one, and a guy getting burned to death, and the new one was about women and men, and a guy getting stung by bees to death.
Huh.
There's a wonderful... So,
they replaced fire with bees.
Yeah. And the central conflict is gender conflict. I don't know, like, if I'm going to make a s'mores, I don't want to be trying to hold a thing over a bunch of bees.
Well, yeah, what if they're, it'll maybe not be as melted, and the bees will generate some heat, but that maybe they'll deposit some honey on it. So you'd have even one more source of cloying, overpowering-ass sweetness to go with your already... thing that is way too sweet to ever even consider eating.
Huh. I use dark chocolate in my s'mores.
Oh, yeah?
Dark like my soul.
And dark marshmallows.
Yeah, the dark marshmallows are great, but if they ever come into contact with any white marshmallows, they explode.
The dark marshmallows are actually just balls of hummus.
Ah.
Blue corn graham crackers. Dark chocolate and hummus marshmallows.
I am a fan of the school of the, like, charcoal briquette marshmallow thing, so my marshmallows tend to not be so sweet.
I see. What I like to do when I have a s'more is replace the marshmallow with mustard and the chocolate with a hot dog and the graham cracker with a hot dog bun.
Hmm. Do you call it a sless?
A deadhead says, what are the odds on fumbling 4 times in a row? I don't know, 1/11th times 1/11th times 1/11th times 1/11th. The champion says, can we get a vague and ultimately unhelpful hint as to what the Disco Bandit Traveling Trader skill will do? Well, it'll be funky. Hush says, how much of the cost of the stuff in the Store of Loathing actually goes to you as profit? Comparatively little. I know that you're supposed to do things like charge people twice or three times as much as an object costs you when you're retailing stuff, but I can't really bring myself to do that. I'm guessing that the shirts that we sell for $15 shipped cost us $7 for the shirt, $2 for the printing, and $1 to ship, maybe. So we get like $5 for every shirt that you buy. Some other stuff, the margins are slightly higher. The shipping on like the glassware is crazy expensive, just because it's heavy and oddly shaped. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, the store exists not so we can make money, but so you guys can have the merchandise that you want. Because I hate making money. Azu says, if you're talking about XKCD Sucks, check out the spinoff XKCD Sucks Sucks, and then XKCD Sucks Sucks Sucks. I definitely think there's a level at which that starts to suck.
There's a level at which suck starts stop looking like a word.
Yeah. Betrayer says, can we get a Sleaze Tune Stab Bat, please? Please? This is probably the only context in which that those four words ever make any sense in sequence.
I have like a compelling need to say this out loud. Sleaze Tune Stab Bat! Sleaze Tune Stab Bat! Thank you.
Was that Teenage Wasteland?
Yeah, it was like an OCD urge, like, oh my god, I have to sing that to Teenage Wasteland. I couldn't stop myself.
You get a lot of those. And you get a lot of the doo-da-doo-da urge.
Yeah. That's the thing. That and making stupid puns are, like, the same as organizing everything in your closet by color for me. I can't not say it. It just, like, itches in my brain until I let it out.
You couldn't just, like, scream it into a pillow so that the rest of the world didn't have to hear it?
No, sorry.
ACM says, I know you're a long way from needing beta testers for the new game, but please add me to the list of possibilities. I still play very few other games, so I'm likely to bring the newbie perspective that doesn't, for example, presume World of Warcraft experience, and might be able to perceive non-obviousness, as a result. Plus, conscientious grown-up, woot. Alright, fine. There was something that I thought was funny that I was reading. Somebody said, "Oh, it was in the show thread, and I just forgot to read this question." I will go back to it. Crap. Where was it? Crap. I'm coaxing back at Clanny, who got burned out around level 8. Says Beowulf. He said it felt like it was getting too linear. He was at the extreme slope for the Trapsor quest, even though I suspect he has missed out on some areas like the island and the dungeons. Do you have plans to keep suggesting side quests or pointing out unlocks to players on their first run, even this far through? He's done the initial nemesis, so hinted side quests are being done. Yeah, I'm trying to make it a lot more obvious what sort of formalized things there are to do. And I've got some ideas that some people might hate and some people can just, the people who hate can just ignore. But what I read that as the first time was not, I'm coaxing back a Clanny, but I'm coaxing a black Clanny.
Like, thank God. We need a couple of more. It was, I feel bad that occasionally I did confuse Princess Self and Lislar through the course of the con. And then when they walked up and said, yeah, people keep confusing us for each other. I guess I've never seen any black people before. Like, well, yes, but in my defense, I haven't.
Yeah.
Never.
You've never seen a black person before con?
Yeah, before this con, actually. Which is weird, since I live in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. But I'm always wearing a blindfold.
Foul Mill says, why aren't the radio show archives being updated? Because I was lazy because of con. Lord Derby says, is anyone out there keeping track of the inside jokes that come up on your radio show? I'm thinking here of things like the apocalypse that kills everyone but the people whose initials are BB. Sometimes I want to tell other people these jokes, but the celebrity monster one is so complicated I can never remember any examples. The thing is, if a joke is like, you can't really tell other people in jokes like that. So the fact that it's difficult to share probably means that it shouldn't be shared.
True.
That's what I say. Yeah, that Apocalypse was just meant to be a pen and paper role-playing game. It's not really a thing that is real. I don't believe that that will happen. If I did believe that that was going to happen, I would change my name
to something. Bastion BBB. Balthazar Bucks?
Ooh, I don't know about BBB.
Yeah, don't you think that would survive even harder?
It's like Brax Poo 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 Flatter. Magic 2729, yeah, right, says, I've been farming the gnome in the landscaper's layer because I love the content. However, I'm noticing I get about twice as many lawnmower blades as machetitos. Shouldn't that be reversed, as lawnmower blades are two-handed weapons and the machete is one, thus lawnmower blades should be twice as powerful? Well, I don't know. I think there's this theory that two-handed weapons should be twice as powerful as one-handed weapons, but it, like communism, is only good in theory.
Oh.
Slap Happy Snark wants hugs. No!
You can have free hugs. Have you ever taken anyone up on a free hug offer?
No.
People with a free hug.
Because
size?
If it's a fat dude, I don't want a hug from a fat dude. And if it's like a cute girl, I would feel creepy doing it.
Right. I think, in general, in the way that I would never join a club that would have me as a member, I would never hug someone who had a sign advertising that they were willing to hug anybody.
What if it was a sexy lady?
Hey.
What if that was all she was wearing?
I would feel pandered to.
And then you'd be too insulted.
Yeah. It's like, don't you pander to me.
Naked lady with the free hug sign.
I did see a great video of a guy who followed around the free hugs guy with a sign advertising $1 hugs and claiming that his were better because they cost money. And he had made like 10 or 15 bucks and really pissed off the free hugs guy because he was ruining the spirit of the free love, whatever. That may be one of those things that you have to explain too much, so you shouldn't say. Roxanne says, you know, there really should be an item for the rest of us that don't go to KOLCon that isn't available to those who attend. And all I got was this t-shirt perhaps. But yes, to get this, you have to prove, your name has to be, to not be on the list of people who showed up at con. Actually, we already handed those out, Roxanne, but your name was on the list of people who went to con, so you can't have it.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't want to get into that whole discussion. Two minutes
no, we
before
don't.
The end of the show.
You know what we
so
want to do is
gonna...
stop doing a show.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. All right, good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.